Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "Vezel bechinachs nichse hager shehem hefker." Now you could understand why the possessions of a convert, as soon as a convert passes away, if he doesn't have any children from after the conversion, his possessions become hefker. Ki hager Yisrael zoichen boy mena hefker. Because when it comes to a convert, when he passes away, his possessions become hefker. Any Jew that grabs it is taking from hefker. Because this ger, before he converted, before he accepted upon himself mitzvos, hu bebechinas hefker, he had no kesher to Torah, to das, which means he was in the state of hefker. He was free from Torah, in a sense. Just like it says, b'meisim chofshi. There's a pasuk that says that dead people are free. Chofshi means free. Free from mitzvahs. They're not obligated to do mitzvahs anymore. They're in the state of hefker, in a sense. Ve'yevsher lahager sheyizgayer kim al yidei Yisrael. And it's impossible for a goy to convert without the Jewish people. Ki koydim shekiblu Yisrael es ha-Torah hoyo ha-koyl hefker. Because before the year 2448, before the Jews accepted the Torah on Mount Sinai, everything was free for all. V'hoyu rishus l'chol odom l'kabalas ha-Torah. Anybody could have accepted the Torah. A goy could have accepted the Torah. The Gemara even says Hashem went peddling it to all the different nations. It was available to anybody. And at that point, any person on earth, any goy who would have accepted the Torah, would have become in charge of the world. He would have become the owner of the world. We said that the das is the kinyan. He becomes in charge of everything. However, as soon as Am Yisrael were the ones who said yes to Hashem, and they accepted the Torah, azai zochu heim ba-Torah, u'bechol ha'olam u'maloyoy. Then they were put in charge of the Torah and of the entire world. With the Torah, the whole world goes with it. Hatluyim ba-Torah, the entire world which is dependent on the Torah. As the pasuk says, im loy brisi, chukoy shamayim voretz loy samti. Hashem says, if not for my covenant, if not for my Torah, the world won't exist. So the one who accepts the Torah is accepting charge over the world. Va'azai ha'koil shelonu. So therefore, once we accepted the Torah, everything became ours. V'zeh shamrazal, this is why the Gemara says on a pasuk in the Novi, the pasuk says, Re'ei viter goyim, shebishas kabolas ha-Torah, hiter lohem mamoinam shel ho'akum. That when the Jews accepted the Torah, Hashem declared all the possessions of the non-Jews as ownerless. By the act of Klal Yisrael accepting the Torah, everything else in the world became ownerless and free and available to them. Ki hakoil shelonu al yedei kabolas ha-Torah kanal. Everything belongs to us as a result of our act of accepting the Torah upon us. V'achshav shezochinu lekabolas ha-Torah. Now, once the Jews accepted the Torah, kol mi sheroitze lehizgayer ulekabel olav ha-Torah yevshe lehizgayer kim al yedei Yisrael. Any non-Jew who wants to convert can't do it on his own. He's got to come to the Jews and tell them that he wants to join them. Dahainu al yedei bezn mi Yisrael. He's got to go to a Jewish court and present himself there and ask them to accept his conversion, you know, and to put him through all the steps. Kemavur b'shulchan aruch, as is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Ve'im yirtza hager l'kayim es kol ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvois bi'atzmoi b'li she'izgar al yedei Yisrael, einoi nechshev l'ger, v'loi nechnas adayin l'kdushas Yisrael, v'rochek ne'ashem izborach kemoi mikoidim. Whereas, if a non-Jew goes to the library and takes out the books and reads the Torah and says, great, I want to be a Jew, I want to accept Torah, and he chooses to start living following all 613 mitzvahs of the Chumash and all the laws of the Gemara, but he doesn't present himself to a bezdin and have them put him through the motions of milah and tvila and have them declare him as Jew, he is 100% non-Jew, and he's as far away from Hashem as he was before. Look at Rav Nosson Zal's words here. Literally, zero change. Ki achshav shekvar kibalnu es ha-Torah, because once we, Bnei Yisrael, accepted the Torah, Yefsher Lishum Ger Sheyizgayer Velichnois Bigdushas Kabolas Atoiro Kim Alide Yisroel. It's impossible for a goy to come close to Hashem, you know, through the Torah without going through us, Bnei Yisroel. Ki kvar zochinu ba-Torah, because the Torah has become ours. It literally belongs to Bnei Yisroel. We have a monopoly on it now. It belongs to us. Vehi shelonu, umi sheroitze lezgayer, hu tzorech lovoi etzleinu dafka. Anybody that wants to convert must come to us. He can't go to Hashem anymore. Now he's got to go through Klal Yisroel. A goy who wants to come close to Hashem can't do it that. He's got to go via Klal Yisrael Dafka. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to say something very sharp. U'kemoi sheshamati mei Rabbeinu Zal le'inyin hiskarvus Yisrael Hashem Yisborach. And just as I once heard from Rabbeinu Zal regarding Jews coming close to Hashem. Shekoidem sheyesh tzadik amiti boilam. Until there is a true tzadik in the world. Azai kol mi sheroitze leskarev Hashem Yisborach, yochoy leskarev. Any Jew that wants to come close to Hashem has the right to do it on his own. Read the book, see the movie, and you're okay. Period. Gamarnu. Aval achar shekvar nimtzo tzadik amiti, maneg Yisroel amiti. However, once there is a true tzadik in the world, a true leader, azai e efsher leshum adam leskarev Hashem Yisborach, Kim al yodoy daiko. It's impossible for any Jew to really come close to Hashem if he doesn't go through the tzaddik. This is a very powerful statement. The Baal Shem Tov says this on the pasuk Ze Hashar Lashem, Kama Tzadikim, Kama Yovoy Yovoy. You want to know what the gateway that leads to Hashem is? It's tzaddikim. Through them, you can come close to Hashem. On your own, you can't. And Rabbeinu Zal said to Rav Nosson Zal, when there's no tzaddik, again, there were certain periods during Jewish history, when, let's say, the Ariza, we're talking, number one, about a tzaddik in each generation, number one, or Yechidei Segula, like, let's say, Moshe Rabbeinu, or the Arizal, or the Baal Shem Tov, for example. Let's say the Arizal. The Arizal came to the world, and he was megala a certain way of coming close to Hashem. He taught his Talmidim a particular program. For example, Reb Chaim Vitalzal, he gave him a whole list of prerequisites to being really successful in Avodas Hashem, meaning being zoicha to chokhmah, the wisdom of Kabbalah, where a whole series, mikveh, for example, he told him, must go to mikveh every day and certain other things. Once the Arizal came to the world and presented that program, anybody that wants to come close to Hashem will be limited. Not that they won't come close to Hashem at all, but they'll be very limited unless they do it via the Arizal, which means via the Arizal's program, that kind of thing. After the Arizal, the Baal Shem Tov came to the world, a new tzaddik of these Yechidei Segula, and he presented a different program. There are differences between his derech and avodas Hashem versus the derech of the Arizal. He did not prescribe sigufim. He did not some of the things that the Arizal says, that a person should fast 84 fasts for a certain a pegam abris, a certain other things. The Baal Shem Tov did not suggest that at all. He suggested tehillim, amiras tehillim, certain other things. Once the Baal Shem Tov came to the world, not only is it that if a person tries to come close to Hashem on his own, he won't make it. But even if a person tries to come close to Hashem using the Arizal's methodology, his methodology is outdated, in a sense. Not that it's totally invalid, but in terms of the program that that a person has to follow to achieve the greatest degree of closeness to Hashem, it's the tzaddik amiti of his door, that kind of thing. That's what he's got to follow. This is something that I heard clearly from the Ziknei Hasidei Breslov. And again, that's the point. Okay, if a person would say, what's the Rabbi Nachman, let's say, Rabbeinu Zal, his form, what do I need him for? In other words, you're telling me if I'm going to learn Shas and Shulchan Aruch, it's not enough? It's only if I'm going to learn Rabbi Nachman's form, I'm going to be a Jew, and if not? The answer is, be a Jew, you can be a Jew without it. But in terms of closeness to Hashem, in terms of being able to achieve the maximum degree of closeness to Hashem that's available in your generation, the only way you can do that is if you go through the tzaddikim of your generation, the tzaddik of your times, that kind of thing. And even if Even if you're going to pick a tzaddik from 400 years ago, and you're going to say, what's wrong with the Arizal? You mean to say he's bigger than the Arizal? Says who? It's not says who. Every generation has its program. And the program changes. It's not the same program always. And if a person in the 1990s tries to use the 1700s methodology, he's going to fall on his face. He's going to fast the 84 fasts, and it's not going to help. It's not going to bring him closer to Hashem. He'll mess himself up. If he tries to go that route, he's going to see that it won't work in bringing him close to Hashem, because that's not the ultimate program that Hashem wants a person to use nowadays.
The tzaddik, physically,
yes,
is long and gone in terms of his door, and he's no longer physically.
Yes. So what? He leaves behind Sforim and Talmidim, through whom he lives. Rabbi Nassal says,
but who's the representative physically in the store?
That's a negotiable item. That's an item that people have their own opinions on, and that each one has to search for that himself.
We're saying that's what we need.
We didn't say you need physical. I use the Arizal and Rabbeinu Zal as an example. The Arizal lived in the 1500s. Rabbeinu Zal lived in the 1700s. Or the Baal Shem Tov lived in the 1700s. So that implying that there was a 200-year period. The Arizal lived 40 years in Gemarnu. But until the next major tzaddik came along and presented a new program, the Arizal's program was the program for those 200 years. As soon as a next tzaddik of that caliber prescribed a different program, then the new program is the ultimate one for achieving the greatest degree of closeness to Hashem.
So as was mentioned earlier, it's up to each of us to find this particular tzaddik.
Right. Nimtza sheyisroel zoichem begerim min ahefker. So therefore the ger, who was originally non-Jew, in the state of non-Jew, he's bechinas hefker. The Torah is the das, the kinyan. Those that are not plugged into the Torah are bechinas hefker. Valkein. So therefore, when the ger came and joined Am Yisrael, where was he coming from? He was coming from a place called hefker. Valkein nechotzov heim hefker liYisrael lachar moisoy. Therefore, when the ger dies, his possessions are hefker to Klal Yisrael. Ki Yisrael zochu boy ubenechosov min ahefker. Because the Jews received the ger and his possessions from hefker. Al yedei shekibel es oil Torah al yodom. Since the ger accepted the Torah via the Jewish people, not on his own. He couldn't accept the Torah by himself. He had to come to Yidden. He had to come to the Yidden and receive his kesher to Torah from Yidden. So it's the Yidden that took him from Hefker into Kinyan. Therefore, the Yidden are the ones who take his possessions from Hefker into Kinyan. Ki akol tolui ba-Torah, because everything is dependent on the Torah.
Is it possible though that he's even, since we said he's Hefker even before he dies?
Yes.
So then his possessions in a sense are Hefker still, so that's why when we put it to, when you move it in the object, you're not supposed to return to those.
Exactly.
It's
Hefker. Exactly. Exactly.
But then in essence, that's what he's saying, that even as he's living, you know, we have to live longer.
No, because during the time that he's living and he received Judaism from the Jews, he's Jew and his possessions are plugged into him. You understand?
Before he's Jewish.
Before he was Jewish, he was Goy. He was Hefker and his possessions were Hefker. We said here that from the time that the Yidden accepted the Torah, the whole world became theirs. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'ze b'chinas churban beis hamikdash v'kol ha-goliyoy she-Yisrael goyla mi-goyla goyla. This is the concept of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the exiles, the Jews going from one exile to the next exile. Ki me'achar she'ovru es ha-Torah, because once the Jewish people violated the Torah, nasu b'chinas hefker chas v'shalom, we detached ourselves from Torah, from Kinyan, we broke the connection, so we became hefker. We were mafkir ourselves chas v'shalom. Ad she'sholto bohem akum, to the point where other nations were able to take shots at us. V'higlu oisam l'mekoymoy sarachoyk min ha'kedusha, and they were able to exile us far away from Eretz Yisrael, far away from the Kedusha. Shehu b'chinas midbar, shehu mokom hefker, which is the concept of the desert, which is the place of the ownerless. Aval be'emes, but the truth is, afal pikein ein doyer yosoim. There's no such thing as an orphaned generation. ובכל דור ודור, אפילו אחרי החורבן, נמצאים צדיקים וכשרים שמקיימים את התורה. In each and every single generation, there are tzaddikim, there are religious people who do fulfill the Torah. Va'azai heim choizrim v'zoichim ba'Torah. And therefore, they take upon themselves the Torah, they acquire the Torah, and v'chol ha'olam atluyim bo min ha'efker. And thereby, they are put in charge of the entire world and everything, which is dependent on the Torah. You accept the Torah, you get everything else with it, that kind of thing. V'heim mehapchim midbar liyishuv. They are the ones who convert desert into civilization. They take deserts and they make from it civilization. In the beginning of Hoydu, it discusses all the ups and downs that the Jews go through. Then at the end, it starts talking about, it says, Yosem midbar lagamoyim. He converts the desert into a place, you know, with water, the eretz tzio, and parched land, lemoitzoi moyim, to land that gives forth water. Yoshev shom re'evim vayechonon re'ermoyshov, and the people that were starving settled there, and they established moshavi, you know, a place of moshav. Vayizru sodois vayduchronim, they planted fields and vineyards. Vayasu pritavua, and they made it into, you know, productive place. That's this concept of the tzaddikim who convert the midbar into a mokom yishuv. They take a place that has no Torah, that has no serious life to it, and they inject that life into it. Kemo Yisrael shekiblu betchilas haTorah b'midbar daika, just as the Jews as a nation received the Torah in the desert bedafka, lohoiro is to show shezoichim hakoil min haHefker. That was to show that the whole world now is in a state of hefker, it's ownerless, and by the Jews accepting upon them ki kol ha'olam koydem kabbalas haTorah hi bechinas hefker kemidbar, because the entire world before Kabbalah Satorah was ownerless. And whoever took upon himself the Torah became the owner of the world, was put in charge of the world. Kemoy kein achshov, so too nowadays, bechol dor vador, in each and every single generation, hat tzadikim amitim, the true tzadikim, shehem meirim lanu esatorah bechol dor vador, who are the ones who shine the light of Torah to us in each and every single generation, and they bring the Jews close to Hashem through the advice that they bring forth from their Chidushei Torah. With their new revelations in Torah, they present a new program filled with advice as to how to come close to Hashem. Those tzaddikim are converting desert into civilization. They're elevating and making a tikkun for all of those places which the Jews have become exiled to, because they are acquiring all of those places from a state of ownerlessness. And they're elevating it all to Hashem. In other words, he's saying even nowadays, when the Jews come to a country of non-Jews, if the country is inhabited by non-Jews, then it's bechinas hefker. There's no Torah there, there's no das, there's no kinyan, it's all hefker. When the Jews come and settle there, and learn Torah there, and do mitzvos, they, by taking upon themselves the oil Torah and mitzvos, they take upon themselves the ownership of their surrounding area. They become in charge. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, V'nishar gamhu leloikenu. There's a pasuk that says that not only is Eretz Yisrael for Hashem, but when the Jews will be sent out to exile, those places also, gamhu, those places also will remain for Hashem, will be brought into Hashem's domain. Kizeh ikar soid hagolus kamuva. This is the main secret behind the Jews going into Golus, that by their going into Golus, they have the ability to take those places and integrate them into the Kedusha. How? By doing Torah and Mitzvot in those places, they can convert that place from Chutz Loretz to a Bechina of Eretz Yisrael in a sense. Ad sheniske b'mehera b'yameinu l'bias m'shichenu, v'oz yuchzar kol ha'olam u'meloyoi li'odeinu rishusenu. Until when Mashiach comes, then the entire world and everything is going to become ours, is going to fall into our hands and possessions. Ki ha'koil shelonu al'idei kiyum ha'Torah. Because everything belongs to us through our fulfilling of the Torah, through our acceptance of the Torah. Shezochinu l'kayim b'chol ha'golius. The Torah which we are zoche to fulfill even when we're in exile, even when the Jews are in exile. So in other words, he's pointing out that when the Jews are in Golus, and in a from a place of Golus, they're fulfilling the mitzvahs of the Torah, to a certain extent, they become in charge and the owners of that place also.
I mean, since Jews are not lahatchila involved with Gashmius, I mean, it's stressing the Ruchnius aspect of things. I'm not exactly sure what this relationship is.
It's both. The point that you're making is very serious, that when we talk about ownership, ownership doesn't have to be where I go into the guy's house and take out everything from his refrigerator, bring it to my house, to prove that I'm in charge. When the Yidden are in Golus, and they're zeicha in the Golus to set up yeshivas and bote knesios and to accept upon themselves the oil Torah over there, that automatically makes them the owners. Lahavdil, again, you walk on a street in Har Nof and you see a guy living in a villa and you assume that it's his and you ask him, is this yours? He says, what are you kidding? Is this mine? I could never afford to own this building. I'm just renting here for a couple of months. The owner is a multimillionaire who lives in Gibraltar, who lives somewhere, you know, and despite the fact that he lives over there, it's his villa. Lahavdil here also, the Jews are living in a little neighborhood in Chutz Loretz, and they're learning their Torah there, and you see the Goyim living in their houses and mowing the lawns, and it looks to you like they own it, and it's sheker. We'll just finish this paragraph, and with this we finish this halacha. Next week in Mitzvah Shem we start one of those big, big halachas. Very, very interesting. V'zeh b'chinas shmita v'yovel. Rav Nosson Zal says this is the concept behind the law of shmita and yovel. Where during Shemitah we declare everything ownerless, and on Yovel also ownerless. V'chol ha-golus nigzar b'shvil bitul shmitois v'yovlois. The Gemara says that one of the main reasons why the Jews were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, why they were put into Golus, was because they didn't keep the laws of Shemitah and Yovel properly. K'may shekosuv, as it says in Divrei Hayomim, ad rotzeso ha'oretz es shabsoiseho, until the land will demand its Shabbases. In other words, the land will take nekama, will take revenge over the fact that the Jews didn't give it its Shabbos. They didn't keep the laws of Shemitah. U'k'may shepirish Rashi sham, as Rashi says over there, ki b'shemitah v'yoyvel oz ha'koil hefker. During Shemitah and Yovel, everything is hefker. Shezehu ikr mitzvah Shemitah v'yovel. Sheyeh oz kol hatfua hefker. V'alkein al yedei shepogmu bozeh. And because the Jews were poigim in this mitzvah called hefker, nigzar hagolus kanal. The punishment is another kind of hefker. Ki hagolus hu bechinas hefker kanal. Because we saw before that the Jews being exiled means Hashem taking his name off their bell. I no longer own you anymore. You're ownerless. Anybody that wants can pick you up from the streets. That kind of thing. Ki shmita v'yoyvel heim bechinas Shabbos. Shmita is the seventh year, corresponding to the concept of Shabbos. Shehu bechinas tshuva kemuva. Shabbos is miloshin tshuva. Kemuva b'mokom acharas is brought in Likutei Moran, because the command to do tshuva in the Chumash is v'shavto ad Hashem alekecho, you will return to Hashem. And the word shavto is shin beis tof, the same letters as the word Shabbos. V'alkein oz hakoil hefker. That's why during Shemitah, everything becomes hefker, kidei lesakein kol hachatoim mashovar, to give the person the ability to fix all their averois, kolech kim ala toira. I'm sorry, mashovar kol echod ala toira. This that each and every individual violated the Torah, shaydezeh he bebechinas hefker kanal. And by doing that, the person is bechinas hefker. In other words, by violating the Torah, he made himself hefker. Vaydei mitzvahs ha-hefker shel shmita v'yovel sheim b'chinas tshuva misaknim pigam ha-hefker shegormu al yidei avonei seim v'kanal. Rav Nosson Zal explains here that one of the reasons for the mitzvah of shmita and yovel is when a Jew does sin, shmita is Shabbos, Shabbos is tshuva. What's the tshuva here? When a Jew does sins, he's b'chinas hefker. He's cutting himself off from the Torah. He's removing the yoke of the Torah. He's saying, I ain't under Hashem's control anymore. I'm free. I'm hefker. That's sins. The tshuva for it is a concept of hefker dikdusha. By showing that you can make your own field ownerless, you're showing that you regret the fact that you were mafkir yourself, you were irreligious. When a person wasn't religious, it's as if he was hefker in a sense, you understand? He wasn't under the authority and ownership of Hashem. That's what allowed him to do averos. By you accepting upon yourself this mitzvah of being mafkir your fields, that's the tshuva for all of your sins. All of your sins, which meant that you were bechinas hefker. Kizeh yodua. Rav Nosson Zal says this is a known fact. Shebechol dover yesh toiv vora. Any item that exists in this world, there's the good side to it and the bad side to it. So that this term hefker, which till now we described as a negative terminology, there's a hefker of kedusha, which is symbolized by the mitzvah of shmita and yovel. That's hefker in its holiness form. Hefker in its unholy form is when a Jew says, I want to be free. I don't want to have to put on tzitzis. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. If I want to go to work on Shabbos, I don't want anybody telling me not to. That kind of thing. V'al kein. Ikra ha-golus shu b'chinas hefker nigzar al yidei p'gam shmita v'yovel shehem b'chinas hefker digdusha kanal. This is why one of the main reasons that the Torah gives for the Jews being sent into golus is because they were poigim in shmita and yovel, which are the symbol of hefker digdusha. They represent the hefker in its holy form. If you don't do that, you get hefker in it, hefkerus in its unholy form. You get thrown out of your, evicted from your house, evicted from Eretz Yisrael, and sent into the streets, into chutz laretz, that kind of thing. Shezeh bechinas tshuva. That's the concept of tshuva. Shemi sheroitze lo shuv b'tshuva ikr tikunoi. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds a little curveball. Shemi sheroitze lo shuv b'tshuva. A person who wants to be zoch to do real tshuva, ikr tikunoi. His main tikkun is al yedei hatzadik shehifkir es atzmoi b'shvil Hashem yizborach. Behefkerus Godoil. His main tikkun comes through the tzaddik who has been mafkir himself, the tzaddik who made himself completely available to Hashem like. With unbelievable hefkerus, meaning he's separated himself from all worldly needs, he's thrown away all kshorim to gashmias and everything, and has been mafkir himself totally to Hashem. He's made himself 100% available to Hashem. He has no other controls. One person is controlled by his appetite. 12 o'clock, it's lunchtime, I have to eat now. Pavlov's theory, right? The bell goes off, the dog knows he's got to eat, that kind of thing. So some people have hundreds of bosses over them. Their taivas achila is a boss over them. Their taivas noshim is a boss. They see a pretty girl, they have to look. Why? Because it's in charge. It's in control of, he's not in control of his eyes. The taiva's in control. Whereas the tzaddik has been mafkir himself completely. In other words, he has freed himself completely from all ties, all other ties to the world, and he's been mafkir himself completely to Hashem. V'zehu tikunoi al ma shehifkir es atzmoi t'chila b'shvil t'avoisov. A Jew who has done sins, he was Bechinas Hefker. He was totally ownerless. Now, he had no boss over him, not even Hashem. He was in a state of Hefker. His tikkun is to go to the tzaddik, who is Bechinas Hefker, who has been mafker himself completely to Hashem, and that tzaddik can give him his program for tshuva. V'zeh Bechinas Shmita V'yoyvel. This is the concept of the mitzvah of Shmita V'yoyvel. When a Jew shows that as per Hashem's instruction, he can declare all of his property ownerless, that's his tikkun for the part of his life when he lived in Hefkerus, when he lived without any boss over himself, you know, free to do whatever he wants, that kind of thing, without Hashem's authority. Rav Nosson Zal says, Va'oid hoyoba sedvorim, I had additional things to say about this, v'nishkach, but I didn't write it down, so I forgot it. Okay. Baruch Hashem. Super honest. Super honest. Baruch Hashem. Hilchas Hefker v'nichse ager, halacha dalid. This halacha is based on a Torah Likut Imran, the longest chapter in Likut Imran. Not an easy chapter. It's the chapter we've referenced it a few times so far. It's the shir that Rabbeinu Zal gave two Rosh Hashanahs before he passed away. And it's entitled Tiku Emuna. It's based, the most important topic in it is the development and perfection of Emuna. And in that Torah Likut Imran, Rabbeinu Zal discusses a lot of different topics. Rav Nosson Zal is going to make reference to some of them, and we'll try to the extent that it's necessary to bring in what we need from the Likut Imran, but not to bring in things that are going to make things more confused. Rav Nosson Zal begins quoting the Halachah in Shulchan Aruch, Kol ha-koydem b'nichse ager zochah. When a ger passes away and doesn't leave any children behind, whoever gets his possessions first, it belongs to them, any Jew. The Inyan Hefker and the Shulchan Aruch in the same chapter in Choshen Mishpat discusses the topic of Hefker, where somebody declares something ownerless. They're also Kol ha-koydem boi zochah. Whoever gets it first, it belongs to them. Avol tzorich lizkois boi daiko be'eze zechia kifia kinyin shadovar nikne boi. However, it doesn't become yours just by looking at it or saying, that's mine. You have to apply the appropriate type of kinyin, the physical action that makes that, puts that into your ownership. Kigoin meshicha, for example, if it's an animal, pulling the animal towards you, or the hagbo, or if it's a watch or a wallet, picking it up. B'metaltlin, when it comes to movable items. The chazoko, or making the kinyan chazoko, when it comes to karka, property. Fixing a fence on it, or walking around it a few times. Avol b'loy ze, einoy zoyche boy. But if you don't do a kinyan, if you don't do an actual maise kinyan, then even though the stuff is ownerless, it doesn't become yours at all. Kemavur b'Shulchan Aruch, b'Simen Reishayin Gimel, Sif Yud Aleph, as is explained in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat over there. These are the words of the Shulchan Aruch. Dovor hamufkar, an object which its owner declared it ownerless, hefker, shebo echod v'shoimroi, and another person comes along and stands guard over that object. V'hoyo mabit boi shelo yitlenu adam, and he's watching it, he's staring at it to make sure nobody takes it. Loi zocha boi, that person is not zoche in it yet, it doesn't belong to them. Ad shiagbienu imhu metaltel, unless he actually physically picks it up, if it's a movable object, o yachzik bekarka kederech shekoinen alakuchos, or if it's property, he's got to do a maise chazoka. The fact that he says, "What do you mean? I was looking at that item the whole time, and I was standing here the whole time," it's not yours yet. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into major, major discussions of a lot of topics. And as part of the discussion, he's going to explain the concept between what hefker is and how you acquire ownership of things and why. Al pi ha-Torah tikku emunah. This halacha is going to be based on a chapter in Likutei Moran called Tikku Emunah, B'Likutei Moran Tanina Simen Hei. Ayin shom heitev. Look it over well. Ki hi Torah arucha ma'oid. Because it's a very long chapter. Arucha me'eretz mido urechova miniyom. This is a pasuk that talks about the Torah in general, that the Torah is longer than the entire earth and wider than the ocean. In other words, saying that the nature of the Torah is that it's very big. V'hinei mevoyer shom, it's explained in that chapter in Likutei Moran, shelahalois emuna hanafula, that if a person's faith in Hashem, or faith in the Torah, or faith in tzaddikim, is in a fallen state, and the person wants to elevate it, they want to fix it up. Tzrichin lachtor hamayim shemehem gdeilu emuna. The person has to dig for and search for those waters that help to water the emuna, to make it grow. And Rabbeinu Zal over there explains how emuna is compared to seeds. Just like seeds, you have to water them to make them grow. The emuna also needs its type of water to make it grow. V'hamayim hin b'chinas eitzois. The type of water that makes emuna grow is advice. B'chinas mayim amukim eitza b'levish. There's a pasuk that says that advice that comes from the heart is like deep waters. Hainu, and Rabbeinu Zal says over there, now the question is, how is a person zoche to get this advice? She'tzrichim litzoik me'oimek halev. The person has to scream out to Hashem from the depths of their hearts. This refers to a type of tefillah where the person isn't even saying words. It's not something you can put into words, but it's a scream that's coming from the depths of the heart. Bibechinas, as the pasuk says, mi ma'amakim kerosicho Hashem. I cry out to Hashem from my innermost depths. And that cry from the ma'amakim results in the etzos, which also are compared to this oimek, this ma'im amukim etzos b'levish. Vaydeze nizgale ho eitzos, b'chinas mayim amukim eitzos. Vaydeze nizgale ho emuna. And this is what helps bring forth the emuna. Rabbein Zal says over there that when Hashem first created the world, it was in a similar format. First there was darkness, and then there was light. As the Pasuk says, Hashem reveals deep things from within the darkness. From the darkness comes forth a light. Now, Rabbein Zal says over there, "Ach tzrichin loze ish tevunos." However, in order to make this happen, you need a person who has very deep wisdom. How does a person become this ish tevunos? V'zeh al yedei shemitzach tzeach nishmosoi. The person has to be able to light up his neshama, in a sense, spark up his neshama, in order to be zeche to this super depth. Bechinas v'hizbia b'tzach tzachos nafshecha. As the Pasuk says, that you'll become filled with the sparks of your nefesh. And how does a person do that? What gives a person the zuchus to spark up his nefesh? Al yidei hamshochas ruchnius elokus l'toch tzimtzumim. To the extent that a person is zuchus to take spiritual things and put them in vessels, we gave an example of this, giving birth to a child, which is a neshama going into a body, or teaching Torah to a person, where you're taking the Torah, which is a dover ruchni, and injecting it into a person who's finite, he's a keli, he has a limited, you know, a limited level of thinking. Shehu bechinas shem shakai, which is the concept of Hashem's name, shin dalad yud, which means shedai, it's enough, which is a concept of tzimtzum, constriction. That name of Hashem represents this concept of tzimtzum, taking something that's unlimited, infinite, and putting it within certain confines. Bechinas and Rabbeinu Zal in that chapter in Kutimran quotes this Gemara: Hameshatev shem shomayim betzaroi koifun loy parnasosoi. A person who, when he's in a state of tsar, which means a state of tzimtzum, and he brings Hashem into it, he prays to Hashem. He doesn't just complain and get angry, but he asks Hashem to help him. He's meshatev shem shomayim betzaroi. That's a concept of bringing ruchnius letoich tzimtzum. The reward for that is that he receives parnosa kful, he receives a double portion of parnosa. Ki al yidei hamshochas ruchnius elokus l'toch tzimtzumim nimshach parnosa. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that to the extent that a person does this, the bringing of ruchnius into tzimtzum, that determines the amount of parnosa that the person has. Just like the Gemara says, each time a new child is born, it brings its own parnosa with it. Why? Why don't we say each time the sun comes up, it brings its parnosa? Why bedafka child? Because a child being born is the example of this hamshochas ruchnius elokus l'toch tzimtzumim. Ki tekev kishayesh bria yesh parnosa. Ayin shom kol zehete. Look in that chapter in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses this elaborately, and he brings psukim to support each one of these concepts. Vayidei ha-parnosa, and to the extent that a person has solid parnosa, mitzachtzeach nishmosoi, his neshama lights up. Bibechinas, as the pasuk says, v'hizbia betzachtzechois nafshecha. You'll have svia, you'll be full with the sparks of your nefesh. Meaning, to the extent that there is soiva, plentifulness, to the extent that the person has solid parnosa, that also affects his neshama lighting up. And the person that has this tzachtzechois nafesh, he becomes this ish tvunois, he has this depth of thought. Bechinas v'nishmas shakai tevinin. The Pasuk says that the person whose neshama is bechinas shakai, it's this ruchnius in a tzimtzum, tevinin. He's zeichet to real tvuna, to this depth of thought. And when a person is zeichet to be this ish tvunois, v'ideizeh yochel lidlois v'lishoiv ho'etzois amukois shemehem gedelo hemuna. The person who has this depth of thought, he's the one who's able to draw the waters that are needed to water the emuna, to water these seeds of emuna. The Gemara says, emuna ze seides roim. Vaidei shemalin ho emuna hanafula. And when a person is zeche to take the fallen emuna and lift it up, aidei ze nasin gerin, that results in converts. Because to the extent that there's less faith, to the extent that the faith is in a fallen state, we find Jews not believing in Hashem, and the most extreme example of that is Chas v'Shalom, Jews leaving their religion. And to the extent that Jews are zecher to make tikkun ha'emunah, it results not just in the Jews becoming strong in Emuna, but Lahavdil, even Goyim coming and accepting the Emuna of the Jews upon themselves. The Elu Hagerim Mazikin LiYisrael. Rabbein Zal says over there in Likutei Moran that these Gerim cause certain harm to Bnei Yisrael. Ki Machnisin Gaiva BiYisrael. They inject Gaiva into Bnei Yisrael. And Rabbein Zal proves it there from the Gemara. The Gemara makes such a statement within a certain context. Shemizeh Nasin Hamanhigim Shel Sheker. And when this Gaiva gets put into Klal Yisrael, it results in leaders that don't deserve to be leaders being appointed or self-appointing themselves with this Gaiva. In other words, in an unjust way. Umizeh Nimshach Niyuf Boilam. And this brings a desire for adultery and those kind of things into the world. V'chulu, etc. Rabbein Zal explains each one of these items there as a paragraph. Ach Hatikun. How do we solve this problem? Or how do we address this problem when there are these false leaders? Or this Taivas Niyuf has been strengthened in the world because of this false leadership. The tikkun is Al Yidei Hamogine Eretz, through the protectors of the land. That's a title that Rabbein Zal uses in that chapter to refer to a certain type of tzaddik. Sheheim Malim Pigam HaBris. These Mogine Eretz make a tikkun for Pigam HaBris. Shehu Bechinas Hechtim Besoroi, where a person has messed up his flesh. Hechtim means he's caused a pigam into the flesh. Lebechinas Pituche Choysom Koidish Lashem. They change the Hechtim Besoroi, which represents Pigam HaBris, to Choysom Koidish Lashem, which is the terminology that's used for Tikkun HaBris. Bechinas Tfilin. And this is synonymous with tefillin, which is his noitzitzus hamoichin, which means tefillin represent the brain being turned up on high, really shining brightly. Ayin shom kol zehetev. Study this over there in Likutei Moran. You'll see how Rabbein Zal presents these concepts and he ties them together. And now Rabbi Nosson Zal is going to take some of these concepts and expound on them and show the connections.